New Year, everyone. Good to see everybody. Amen. Would you all rise? We're going to sing number 432. 432. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foes and veils below, let all our sin be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept o'er the every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread, and anger with a shout. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory. Victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory. Victory that overcomes the world. Amen.
All right. Good to see you today. Glad you're here. Let's enter into the presence of the Lord. We've been singing songs to him, praising his name in song. Now then, we look to him in prayer. And as we pray this morning, we want to thank the Lord for what he did in Brother Lancaster's life this past week. He had a little operation on his ear, had a little problem hearing, but you know, you don't have any problem hearing the Lord, because when he speaks to us, he speaks to our hearts, doesn't he? Anyway, Brother Lancaster, would you lead us in our prayer, please?
Each one is present this morning. Bless our pastor as he brings the message this morning.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And here we are, the first Sunday of a new year, and it's a lot like the old one. Can't tell too much difference in it, can we? If we didn't have a calendar, we wouldn't know whether it was January or February. But anyway, we've got a good Bible reading for us this morning. And are you ready? All right, Brother Rowe.
Good morning. And Happy New Year. A blessed one. My reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start with verse 3. Peter tells us about suffering of the Christians and the conduct in light of our salvation. We'll start with 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith by salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while it need be. You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, since you have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower, as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fade away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now is the word which the gospel was preached to you. Amen.
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 That was good.
Amen. Thank you.
Love one another. That agape love, not the world's love. Agape love is God's kind of love. And that's what we should be loving one another with. Amen. Would you turn over to page 420? 420.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my God? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Through my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings is flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Would you all rise and we'll turn over to 463 and we'll have our offering after this song.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, letting paths of light, pressing more closely to Him who is leading. When we are tempted to turn from the way, trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, letting paths of light, walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Looking to him for the grace freely promised. Happy, how happy our journey above. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Let in paths of life. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Upward, still upward will follow our God. When we shall see him, the King in his beauty. Happy, how happy our place at his side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Let in paths of love.
Amen, amen. Brother Bob, would you lead us, please, in prayer?
Father, we just thank you that we can gather together here as fellow believers, and we just pray for those that are with us today. We thank you for this new year, and just ask that we'll be a blessing to those around us. We ask, too, that this offering will be used to further the gospel.
Amen. Nobody came to me and said, I want to sing a solo this morning. Get her up here. Come on. Amen. No. Come on. Next Sunday. All right. Do we have a volunteer over here? We do.
Yes, sir.
Who's first on the list?
You.
Don't remind me. Really? Wasn't your birthday on Christmas, Lois? My goodness. Well, let's sing happy birthday then. All right. David, that's all right. I'll go ahead and lead it. I think I can remember the words to this one. Help me out back there. You lead this way and I'll lead that way. Wait a minute. Let's see who all we're singing to here. Come on. Will you stand up? Will you stand up? Birthdays? Come on. Come on. January birthdays. January birthdays, and anniversaries. Come on, we want to know who we're singing to. All right. All right. Here we go. Happy birthday first, and then a happy anniversary, okay? Happy birthday to you. That's to me too, do you know? Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Thank you. Now, I know some of you went somewhere over Christmas because you're back now. I think the Smiths waded water in the Atlantic Ocean. They were way on the other side of the world. Did anybody go further than Bob and Betsy? Did anybody go to Texas this Christmas? No? Where did you go? Some of you that weren't here, where'd you go? Just holler it out.
Minnesota.
That's a long way. Cold country. Florida.
Walmart.
Amen. And y'all went to where? All right. That's good. Where'd you go, Mary? Yeah, all right. That counts. All right. Well, we had some wonderful holidays, didn't we? Yeah. And we even had a touch of cold weather. Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be here. By the way, tonight in our evening service, 6 o'clock here, I'm going to be speaking again. This is when you preach for 65 years, kind of like twice a Sunday, how many Sundays is, that's a lot of sermons. And so I like to go back over them and find some of the, well, they're all good, but find one that might be outstanding or better than, you know, kind of. And I've got one of those that I want to preach tonight. And if you heard it, it's been so long ago you've forgotten it, okay? But I want to preach tonight on where's heaven. Now, heaven is a place, and it's a place where we all expect to go when we die. We all want to go there. And I'm sure most all of us have already got our tickets. It's a one-way ticket, and that's where we're going when we leave this earth. But we're going to try to answer the question about where it is. Where is it? I know you don't have to worry about it because the Lord's going to take you there. But where is it? Doesn't it kind of tweak your curiosity to wonder just where heaven is? If something happened and Jesus didn't come for you and you had to make it on your own, which direction would you strike out to get there? Where's heaven? And we're going to try to answer that to your soul's satisfaction tonight. And in the meanwhile, since nobody's going to sing, I'm going to preach. So open your Bible to the book of Revelation. I like to read Revelation. Revelation has got some good stuff in it. And In the 20th chapter, we're getting over close to the back of the book when we get to Revelation chapter 20. One of the things that's going to come to pass according to verse 12 is this. Now this is John writing, and he says, well, let's begin in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Think of this, a great white throne. Maybe an ivory throne. That's what Solomon's was made out of. A great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. If heaven and earth flees away, where are they going to go? There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, not the living, but the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, he's the one that's on that great white throne. And the books were opened. What books? And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Somebody is writing down our works. And one day, somebody's going to stand before the great white throne on which God is sitting, and this book of works is going to be opened, and they're going to be judged according to their works. But that's not our message this morning. I want to talk to you about the Great Tribulation. That's before this, before the judgment. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a time of great tribulation that's going to come upon the earth and all of its inhabitants. There's over 7 billion of them now. And this is going to be just before the second coming of Christ, because he's coming at the end of this 7-year tribulation. It's going to last 7 years. We're told in the Bible that all of the saved are the ones, those of us who are God's children, those of us who've been born again, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have accepted him as our personal Savior. All of us will be taken out of the world before this tribulation period comes. We're not going to be here. The Bible teaches us that. Let me explain it to you to where we all understand this. If you are unsaved now, that means that you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not believe that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God, and that he was virgin born and died on a cross and all such as that. It means that you've never repented of your sins. You've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. The Bible says that you are lost. That's the word that it uses. You've never been born again, and Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But know this, one day, Well, it may be night in part of the earth when this takes place. We don't know exactly when, but it's going to be day in part of the world and night in the rest of it. There's going to be the sound of a trumpet that will echo throughout and around the world. Everyone will hear it. Even the deaf, even the dead that are in the graves. They'll hear it. And before you can bat an eye at the sound of that trumpet, many graves out yonder in the cemetery are going to give up the bodies that are buried in them. Those bodies of men, women, boys, and girls will ascend out of those graves and float upward into the sky out of sight of people that are here on earth. And at the same time, all of those true believers in Jesus who are living, if it happened now, it would be us. They will begin to rise as though they have been unloosed from the law of gravity. Their bodies will be changed, and they'll be blended in with the bodies of the resurrected dead, and they will all go up together. All of the living saints and all of the dead saints, we'll say. Now remember that only those who are saved will be participating in this. This event's called the rapture and the first resurrection. The rapture pertaining to the living saints, the first resurrection applying to those who are in the graves, who have died. Now, if you're unsaved, you're going to be a witness to all of this. You're going to see it happen right before your very eyes. But you will not be a partaker of it, nor will you be a participant in it. You're going to stand here and watch. You'll see the graves as they give up the dead, if you're near a cemetery. If you're around people who are saved, you'll see them go up and be caught up into the air. And your feet will remain rooted on the ground. And if this happens to you, you just remember what this preacher said. This will mark the beginning of that tribulation period for those who remain on the earth. And I want to give you some reasons why you don't want to go through that tribulation period. You've just personally witnessed these graves opening. You've personally witnessed the bodies of the dead, departing saints rising in new bodies out of the grave, ascending up into heaven. And you've witnessed many living people that you know who are also going up into heaven with them. And you stand there wondering what in the world is happening. And all of a sudden, the ground under your feet begins to tremble. Read in the paper, I guess it's yesterday's, I haven't read today's yet. But boy, these earthquakes are getting close to us, aren't they? The whole ground begins to shake. And the Bible tells us that after this rapture, first resurrection, this old earth is going to tremble and shake with a great earthquake that will knock you off your feet. You look up into the sky and you'll see that sun that's shining out there this morning go into total eclipse and become as black as sackcloth of hair. When that sun goes out, darkness is going to cover the face of the earth. On the other side of that dark sky, the moon will turn blood red. Imagine what that will look like. And as you continue to look up into that dark sky, you will see a flaming meteor shower that comes streaking through the heavens like a 4th of July fireworks display. The sky will be rolled together as a scroll. Every mountain and every island on earth will be moved from its foundation. What's happened? Welcome to the great day of God's wrath. This is just the beginning. This is just an introduction of things to come. Now, as you can imagine, from this great earthquake and everything, there's going to be many casualties and much property damage which will result from this unusual activity. Multitudes of people will die. Hospitals will be filled with the injured. And you will witness a hailstorm mingled with fire falling on the earth. And that brimstone will ignite fires all over the earth, causing a third part of all of the trees to be burned up and all the green grass will be burned up. Now, while your mind is still trying to take all of this in, you're going to see a giant asteroid as big as a mountain and burning with fire fall from heaven. It will land on the sea. And a third part of the sea will turn to blood. And this awful pollution causes all the sea creatures in that area to die. All of the fish, the whales, the sharks, the octopus, everything is going to die. And their dead carcasses will rise to the top of the bloody water and will float to the surface and cover this blood-red body of water. Also, all of the ships that are in that one-third area of the sea shall also perish. They become floating cities of the dead for all personnel aboard those ships will die. Now, if you live through this, the next thing that you will see is another great flaming star fall from heaven. It will burn its way through the atmosphere and land upon a third of the fountains of the rivers, turning these fresh waters bitter and unfit for human consumption. The unsaved people of the earth, seeking to quench their thirst, will drink this deadly, contaminated, polluted water, and they will die with awful stomach cramps from the bitterness of that water. Meanwhile, all of those people that have gone up to heaven are missing out on this. Why, they're wearing white robes and sitting around the Lord's buffet table, enjoying fellowship with Jesus and visiting in reunion with their friends and loved ones. They're unaware of all of this excitement that you're witnessing down here on this whole earth. Then your attention is once again drawn to what's going on around you, and you see an angel. He's got a key in his hand. He's going to unlock a bottomless pit. And out of this bottomless pit comes a thick black smoke as from a giant furnace. It's going to billow out from this pit to darken the sky and pollute the air. And then you hear a strange sound. It's a buzzing sound, as the sound of chariots, the Bible says, of many horses running to battle. And then you see them bursting out of that smoke, swarms of locusts spreading out across the land surface of the earth. Locusts. Here comes one. Reach out and catch it and take a look at it. Take a closer look. You'll notice that it resembles a small, tiny horse of all things. A flying horse, clad in full battle armor. Only it's got wings. On its head is a yellow crown looking like gold. You look at that little horse's face, and the face resembles the face of a miniature man. Well, eyes, nose, mouth, ears, etc. Not a horse. It has long hair like a woman. And when it opens its mouth, don't let it bite you, its teeth are as the teeth of a lion. It's got a tail. Its tail is like a scorpion with a needle-sharp stinger that's filled with deadly, poisonous venom. Now, all these locusts are going to be around for 5 months. And they're going to get hungry, and they're going to eat the flesh of the people who are living on the earth at that time. They're going to inflict some almost unbearable pain upon these human beings with all their bites and their stings. 5 months. The torment will be so great, that men will seek death. Get your pistol. You load it. I can't stand this pain any longer. You take it and you put the barrel of that pistol in your mouth and you pull the trigger and it goes bang and that bullet goes right out the back of your head and all it does is hurt. You get a rope and tie it around your neck and tie it to a rafter in the barn or something like that and jump off the chair and you hang there and go, ah! You can't die. You can't kill yourself. I'll get in front of this train. Here comes the train. Stand on the tracks. That train will hit you and it'll carry you to wherever it's going. All you do is just get the hurt out of it. It doesn't kill you. Death will flee from them and they cannot die even by suicide. Now don't forget, if you're unsaved, you're one of them. Now if you make it through this ordeal, through those 5 months, there's another yet to come. And a great army of 200 million horsemen are loosed. Where do they come from? I haven't the slightest idea. We're not told. They just appear on the horizon and they cover the face of the earth. And these horses, I was raised on a farm. I used to plow and we had horses that pulled a wagon and I rode horses and that was our transportation and such as this. But in all of my growing up days, I never saw a horse like that. Let me describe these to you. These horses, each one of them has the head of a lion. Take a horse's body now and you put a lion's head on it, teeth and all. And there's fire and smoke and brimstone coming out of their mouths. And their tails, instead of having a regular horse's tail, their tails are fierce, poisonous reptiles, snakes, serpents, whatever you want to call them. And at the end of the tail is the snake's head. And its fangs are filled with deadly venom. So if the lion's head doesn't get you, then the snake is going to get you. So if they don't get you coming, they'll get you going. Now that's exciting. Woo, that's exciting. Man, that's almost like science fiction. And all those people in heaven are missing out on it. And then, if you've made it this far and haven't been one that's died, you're going to be introduced to Satan, the old devil himself. In person. Now, he appeared to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the beginning as a serpent, if you remember. The most subtle of the beasts of the field. He appears to many people today, we're told, as an angel of light to deceive and to seduce them. Simon Peter says that he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But if you've made it to this part of the tribulation, still alive, you're going to see Satan as a great red dragon. He's going to have 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And he's got a big tail. You're going to think you're in Jurassic Park. if you make it this far. But that's not the end. You look and you see another beast. He's rising up out of the sea. This one has the body of a leopard, but his feet are like the feet of a bear. And he's got a mouth like a lion's mouth. And he has 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. And then you're going to see another beast rise up. This one is coming up out of the earth. And he has 2 horns like a lamb. But don't be deceived by his looks. He has lots of power. He causes fire to come down from heaven to the earth. He talks the people of earth into making an image of the second beast, the one that came out of the sea. And when they do, he causes this image to speak. And then he forces all men to bow down and to worship this image of the beast. And those who don't, those who refuse to do it, they're killed. He also makes all men receive a mark in their hand, or in right hand, or in their forehead. And if you're one that's here at that time, you'll have to take it too. Because without that mark, 666, you can't buy anything. You can't sell anything. Not even groceries. You can't buy gas for your car. You can't buy clothing. Now, isn't all this a lot more exciting than going to heaven? I'm sorry. I hope I'm not making it so exciting and appealing to you that you'll want to stay. Because heaven, compared with this, is Dullsville. If you stick around a little longer, if you live through all of this, you're going to see the armies of the earth, all nations, gather together for what they call the Battle of Armageddon. And you'll see the greatest battle of all time, because the Bible says that the blood from the slain of this battle will flow for 191 miles down a valley, and it will be as deep as the bridles of a horse. That's a lot of blood. Now, aren't you glad you didn't get saved? You'd miss all of this. How exciting. But it isn't over yet. Oh, no, we still got some to come. There's a deadly virus that sweeps across the land and causes big old sores all over your body, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And that comes upon all mankind. And suddenly, the sun increases its heat. Somebody turns up the thermostat. And all the humans remaining on the earth will be scorched with the great heat. Even standing in the shade won't help. And then just as suddenly, the earth is plunged into a midnight of darkness, bringing freezing cold, causing people to gnaw their tongues in pain. Now remember that their bodies are still covered with these painful sores. Lightning begins to flash. Thunder begins to roll. And another great earthquake described by the Lord Himself as being the greatest one to ever hit the earth will come. It will destroy everything that hasn't previously been destroyed. That earth will be followed by a great hailstorm. And every hailstone that falls to this earth is a 75-pound chunk of ice. You'd better find some protection if you're here then. Imagine what happens. You get two or three of those things landing on your head, it's going to give you a headache, isn't it? My, my. Aren't you glad you didn't accept Jesus and go to heaven? Why, man, after going through something like that, you could write down all of your experiences in the book and it'd be a bestseller. Even Hollywood would be wanting to make a movie out of it. But it's not over yet. Then you will see Jesus. You'll see the Son of God, whom you don't believe in, whom you have rejected. He'll be coming back to this earth in clouds of glory, riding a white horse. He's clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and he's followed by the armies of heaven upon white horses. And a sharp sword goes out of his mouth. And presuming you've made it this far, you will now be killed by that sword. This will be your end. Your body will lie unburied on the ground. The buzzards will come and pick out your eyes with their sharp beaks. Out of your skull, they'll tear your flesh from your bones. Wild animals will come and they will devour your flesh and gnaw your bones. And meanwhile, your immortal soul goes down to hell, where you will be tormented in burning flames of fire day and night without end for 1,000 years, a millennium. And then one day, you'll be loosed from that prison of hell. And you will find yourself, as we read here in Revelation 20, you will find yourself standing before the Almighty God, whose grace you have rejected, whose Son you have denied, as He sits upon on judgment upon you at that great white throne. The book of life will be opened. He will look for your name. But your name will not be in His book, because you rejected Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Only those who accept Him have their names in His book. Then you will be escorted out of God's presence by His holy angels, And you will be cast into a lake of fire, which is the second death. And there you will be tormented day and night forever and ever, world without end. You'll miss seeing the new Jerusalem descend from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, because you chose sin over righteousness. You'll never get to walk through those gates of pearl or down those streets of gold because you chose Satan over Jesus. You'll never get to live in that beautiful mansion because you turned Jesus down as your Savior. But you got exactly what you wanted. You had a choice. You had a chance. And you can't blame anyone but yourself for your predicament. You may try to laugh it off, but what I've told you this morning comes from God's book. These are His words, not mine. And His word is truth. If you continue in your sin, you'll be sorry. So if I were you, I would come to God and I will cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. Shall we stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And I realize that what we've said today, many people will not believe. It sounds ridiculous, impossible, that these things should come to pass. But these you've written in your book, addressed to us. We want to go to heaven because we love you, we love Jesus, we love the Holy Spirit, and we want to spend eternity in a place of peace and rest, happiness, joy. We want to share it with those who are righteous, those who are good, those who love the Lord. I realize today that there are many people who are unsaved. Some of them have never heard a message like I've preached this morning, but they need to know these things because perhaps if we can't win them by love, we can win them by fear. And they will say, I don't want to go through what that preacher said today. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn forever and be tormented when Jesus offers us everlasting life. If there's one in this congregation today who is unsaved, that this message is directed to, let the Holy Spirit speak to their heart and move upon them to do something about it. Help us, Father, to care about where people are going when they die. When heaven is, it's so easy to get into. Jesus is the door. Help us, Father, to be witnesses for you and of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we sing a verse of invitation this morning.
Number 487.
Number 487. We're going to give you an opportunity to come today. You search your heart. You're the only one that knows your relationship with God. We invite you to come today. Thank you.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.
Will you come today?
And he will surely
will you come today?
Give you rest by trusting in his word.
Only trust him. Take his word for it.
Only trust him. Only trust him now. He
only you
will say
know for sure the condition of your heart before God.
He will save you now.
Thank you. I appreciate your being here today. Appreciate the attention you gave to the preaching of the Word of God. Remember, tonight we're going to be talking about where's heaven? Where's heaven? May the Lord bless you and keep you. And read the book of Revelation. You'll find that what we said today is in the book, exactly as we've preached it. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Gene Rice, will you lead us in our benediction?